Hi, I'm Angela Smith. Thanks for listening to Reading the Bible Together. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. Thanks for giving and for sharing with a friend. Welcome to Reading the Bible Together. I'm your host, Angela Smith.
That all changes with Jesus, and the cleansing comes from him. And now we get to have this beautiful ritual that symbolizes that this thing has already happened because of Jesus. He has washed us with his blood, and now we get to share with our community that we believe all of those things about who he is and the promises and the community that we have because of him.
Today we're talking about baptism, and our hope for this conversation is that it's going to whet your appetite to read the Bible for yourself, because nothing brings transformation to your life like reading the Bible and inviting the Holy Spirit into that process. And I also want to remind you that as we're having this conversation about baptism, there are lots of different views on baptism. I want to encourage you to go and to read what Luke wrote in Acts 17:11 about the Bereans. He said they searched the scripture day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching truth. So if there's something that is said during this conversation or you're curious about something, search the scripture. Search the scripture for the answer. So, I mean, and whether it's this conversation today, a sermon you hear on a Sunday, or a podcast you're listening to, search the scripture to see if what is taught is true. Now, onto the show. Today, I am so excited to be welcoming back my friend, Misty Harper Anderson. She's Executive Director of Walk Right Ministries and an adjunct professor teaching Old and New Testament. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, I'm really excited about this conversation. And even just the little pre-conversation we had before we recorded, I'm excited about what we've learned and what we still have yet to learn in this process.
Yes. Well, and my own experience with baptism is long. And we've talked about this in other episodes about other elements of our faith too, where I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. And so what baptism meant when I was younger is something different than what it means to me now. And so this, for me, as a personal journey, has been quite the evolution to understand. I always go back to this, and I even just said this recently and to another group of people, what do I believe and why do I believe it? And do I still believe the same thing? And then it comes back to that curiosity of, okay, what does the biblical text have to say about this? And what can I learn still going forward?
But I've been having conversations with some friends lately who, because I grew up in the Lutheran, so I was baptized, christened as a baby, and then made a commitment at 19, you know, came to understand who Jesus is at 19, and then made the decision quickly, it wasn't a long process, to be baptized as an adult. And I've been having some conversations recently with other people who haven't had that same conviction that, you know, they were baptized and then they went through the confirmation process in the tradition they were in. And for them, that confirmation process really was confirming their baptism. And so they haven't felt the conviction to be baptized again. And so what was your journey with baptism? Because I'm assuming you were christened as a baby.
I was. And in the Roman Catholic Church, and I don't want to say too much about this because I don't know that I could speak about it to the fullness of what that faith tradition believes. What I do know is that, yes, I was baptized as an infant, and that in the Roman Catholic faith, that is part of the means of salvation. So I remember even being it must have been high school, and going through my own confirmation process and practicing baptizing baby dolls in case I was ever babysitting an infant and then there was potential for death, that I would be able to baptize that child before something happened. And so then as I grew into adulthood, I still very much, very much cherish the faith of my youth. When I got to a point of coming to a personal relationship with Jesus, and then a few years later, having the opportunity to be baptized as an adult, my faith was so different. The things that I believed were so different that even the faith that was confirmed in me as a high school student was not the same as what it had become. And mm-hmm. so for me at that point, it felt like, yes, this is a right next step for me because I'm confirming that I believe in Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior.
And I think that's one thing that we can agree on is that baptism is not required for salvation. I want to be really clear about that point. And so I think that there can be some gray around it because it's faith in Jesus is where salvation comes from. So as I was approaching baptism, I was thinking about shows that I had seen where it was depicting people of a Jewish faith, like modern day people of a Jewish faith who were going through what's called the ritual of mikvah, a cleansing process. And I thought, I had always only associated baptism with Christianity. And then I was doing some reading and they talked about, John the Baptist was baptizing and nobody thought that was weird. And I was like, oh yeah. So like, this is something that like came out of Judaism.
Mind-blowing to me. Like, of course, it wasn't new. There wasn't just this one man that all of a sudden was able to convince an entire nation that you should repent and be baptized, right? It was something that was familiar to them already. And then it was this moment of, why hadn't I even considered this before?
I mean, 30 years I've been walking with Jesus. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. Well, so then it brought me back into some of the Hebrew text. And one of the stories that came to mind for me was the story of Naaman. And that's in 2 Kings 5. He is a non-Jewish man who had been struck with leprosy, who encounters a Jewish young woman and says, there is a prophet in Israel, and I believe that you can go to him and that he can heal you. And that prophet is Elisha. And I believe, knowing what I know of the other experiences between God and Elisha in the Old Testament, he 100% could have said to Naaman, you are healed, and that he would have been healed just by the words spoken through him. And yet what he says to him is, go into the river and dip 7 times. When you come out, you will be cleaned. And at first, Elisha has this response that, no, this is ridiculous. I don't need to do this. And then one of his servants comes to him and says, but what if? What mm-hmm. if this is what heals you? And so he humbles himself, he goes into the water, and then he comes out and professes that he recognizes that Yahweh is God. And so it was something that I was just able to look at with fresh eyes that we can even carry into our faith traditions now, is that there is a humility that comes with a recognition that we need to be washed clean, and mm-hmm. that there is a way that God is asking us to do that.
And it is such a humbling thing, especially as an adult. I mean, you see Naaman like getting into the river and getting all wet. So, you know, as a woman, for example, like there's a whole process that we go through to get ready and to go in front of your whole church, which I think a lot of us still have the default of like getting yourself ready for church. For some, it's out of, you know, respect, a reverent, I want to put on my Sunday best. And for some, it's, I want to appear as though I have it all together. And it would be very humbling. It is very humbling to go then and get all wet in front of everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's interesting. So now my husband and I and our boys go to a Baptist church. There was a conversation about the amount of water used and sprinkling versus dunking and immersion and whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, so I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to go and look and see what the Greek has to say. You know, what are these Greek words that are used? Baptisma and baptismo. And baptisma is immersion or submersion. And baptismo is to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge. And so I'm not trying to necessarily defend the amount of water, but I could understand, oh, well, that's maybe where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
Is the whole.
And I wonder too, sometimes, right, baptism is different, done differently sometimes. Mm-hmm. In the church that my husband and I attend, this is a denomination that offers infant baptism and adult baptism based on the preference of a parent. So you also, right, you can choose child dedication or child baptism. And I'm guessing then too, you are not going to dunk an infant, right? You're going to sprinkle right. that infant.
Right. And because it's a symbol, I think to get too deep or too concerned over the amount of water that's used is maybe not a hill to die on.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
Yeah.
Because one of the other stories that I went to when I was preparing for this is, it's one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts, and it's in Acts 10. And it's this interaction between Peter, a Jew, and Cornelius, I believe is Roman. And Peter coming to Cornelius and seeing this faith where he 100% is a follower of Jesus. And then Peter witnesses to them and tells them exactly who Jesus is as the Messiah. And it says in Acts 10, I don't have the verse numbers in front of me, but while Peter was still speaking the word, so he's giving the testimony about who Jesus is, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And then it says the circumcised believers, so that would have been the Jewish believers, they were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out. And then Peter says, yeah, we should baptize these people. And I believe it says in there that they baptized his whole family. Well, then if you're talking about somebody young, somebody old, we can't know. We can't know if it was an immersion or a sprinkling. And yet we know that this was a symbol. What I believe is that baptism is a symbol where these people are saying, yes, we are followers of Jesus as the Messiah. Those are the things that we need to agree on, right? With how much water it is, we can disagree on that as long as we can come together and agree that Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah, that whole, I have that in the notes from this show too, Acts 10. I actually just put all of Acts 10 because so that you can get the whole context of mm-hmm. Peter going there, because it was really brave for him to go. Cornelius was a Roman army officer in Caesarea. And so like super brave, first of all, that Peter went there. And then to see the faith of these people, and like you said, that the Spirit came, and then they were baptized. And so and this is actually where we see the first Gentile baptism.
Yes.
Too.
Yes.
As well, which is good news
yes.
for those of us who are Gentiles.
Those of us who are Gentiles. Yes, there is an author that I follow. His name is Mark Batterson. And in one of the books that he's written, Acts 10 is something that he writes about. And he says that almost the exact same thing. If Peter doesn't go to Cornelius, then the Christian faith doesn't come to non-Jewish people. And yes, as a non-Jew, I am very thankful for this interaction and for Peter's obedience to do something that even in this early version of the church, followers of Jesus Christ, they were still holding so tightly to Jewish rituals that it was this reframing of what this new freedom in Jesus looked like.
Yeah. And it was also interesting because, you know, once I had looked in the New Testament at baptism, I wanted to look at the Old Testament, you know, where it had come from. And it was mm-hmm. a lot, it was the Levitical laws about, it's in the notes. It'll be in the notes. If you want, you can go to the show notes and get it where the specific yeah. references are, but the washing away and the very specific rules about if this happens, then you need to wash in this way and then you'll be unclean for so many days. And it was, I'm just going to continue to nerd out a little bit on the Greek words, but it's rahas, and it's to wash off, to wash away. It's used in Leviticus to refer to bathing oneself in water. And that word mikvah that I had used, that I had been hearing mm-hmm. about, you know, the ritual of mikvah, is that word actually means, well, the first meaning of it is hope, which I thought was very interesting. Mm. And then the second meaning is a collection. And so even in modern day, you'll find that there are mikvah baths where I think it's mostly Orthodox Jewish people will do a cleansing, a cleaning, you know, if it's, or if it's someone converting to the Jewish faith, they'll go through that process. It's, if it's a woman who's gone through a menstruation cycle, or, you know, there are all the Levitical outlines of when you need to still cleanse yourself, they will do this mikvah bath, which I thought, I mean, I just can't get over yet that it's so, that it started in Judaism and it's still happening in Judaism. Like it's a, this parallel thing with very different now, very different meanings.
Yeah. One of the things when I was reading about this was, so by the time that you get to John the Baptist, it had become more than a ritual cleansing. Mm. And, right. Because John comes with this message of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And so there is this evolution of this sacred moment that has happened over these thousands of years. So then by the time, and we know that this is something that Jesus took to heart because Jesus himself was baptized. And then the early church takes that work of John the Baptist and takes it a step further. And it's now distinguished by including the confession of the name of Jesus as the Messiah and the promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And how beautiful it is. It also brings me back to that Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. Mm. And I think this is another powerful example of how that's happening.
Well, and I think we're seeing that in this, in the whole series that we're doing with these different fundamentals of the faith of, you know, next week we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments, and, you know, we have the list, but then like Jesus takes them to another level. So, I mean, there was, oh, I have so many thoughts happening, like the law, having the law and not having the Holy Spirit. I mean, some people did in the Old Testament, but having to fulfill that law, and how like that, the striving that of trying to remain clean and pure and righteous and whole, you know, set apart. And then the hope of the Messiah has come. And so like, there's no more striving.
No more striving. And there's no more separation. Mm-hmm. So one of the things, so let's say a woman had a child, there was a time of separation where after the birth of a child that she needed to be outside of the camp until this time had passed, and then she can be ritually cleansed and allowed back in the camp. And whether we're talking about that, or we're talking about leprosy, or we're talking about any of the other Levitical laws that required a time of separation before the cleansing could happen and somebody could be rejoined to their community, that all changes with Jesus, and the cleansing comes from him. And now we get to have this beautiful ritual that symbolizes that this thing has already happened because of Jesus. He has washed us with his blood, and now we get to share with our community that we believe all of those things about who he is and the promises and the community that we have because of him.
Yeah. And that's one thing that we haven't talked about yet is the proclamation. I mean, getting baptized is a proclamation saying, I have committed my life to Jesus, and that's why I'm here to be baptized, to have this external expression of what's happened internally.
Yes. And truly, that is, when I chose this for myself, that was the why behind it, is I was becoming this new person. And I will say, true confession, I've shared this many times, that my sanctification process, and that's just a really big word, that means the process of the Holy Spirit working in me, renewing me, creating the new me with Jesus. Mm-hmm. My process was very long and slow and winding. And so I got to a point, I was baptized probably at about 25 years of age. And then there was a point in my mid-30s where I was like, I should probably do this again, because because of the mistakes that I've made along the way. And actually, I suppose I could have had a pastor that would have done that for me, but it isn't necessary, right? Because it wasn't something that ritual of baptism isn't something that made my faith what it is. I had already professed that I was a follower of Jesus, and Jesus had the grace to stick with me as I figured out what that meant.
Yeah, it was just an external expression.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And then, I mean, we haven't even gotten into the water, like the symbolism of the water, and Jesus is the living water. I mean, I feel like I've had questions, and so I've searched, and now I'm ending up with so many more questions about baptism. I feel like this is something, like there are some things that I know, and also so much more to learn, like so much more to, like I was saying at the beginning, like searching scripture for, pursuing God through prayer about what does this mean? I have two boys, they were teenagers at the time. Well, they're still teenagers now, but were baptized last summer. And to see them make that public, we had left it up to them whether or not they wanted to do that. And to see them make that public proclamation, and then they were also baptized with their cousin, and they're all very close. They call themselves the lads, which was very cool then that they were all baptized together. To see this public proclamation and then to be baptized together was amazing to watch. And they always make me cry. Every time there are baptisms at church, I always cry.
Always, yes.
Always.
Yeah, I'm an easy crier too. And also, there is something really powerful about this. Our daughters have both chosen baptism too. And I think they were probably right in their young teens when they chose it. And what a gift it is as a parent who we are raising our children to be followers of Jesus. And yet at no point, I didn't bring this up to them. It was something that they chose on their own. Mm-hmm. And that was a real gift as their mother to see them making this choice to be in front of their friends, in front of their family, and saying, yes, I want to live my life for Jesus. I hope that the people that listen to this also feel so curious, that there will be this desire to really dig in. I think a tool that is really helpful is a concordance, and I'm sure you can find them for free online now, but where you can even search up the word baptism and it will point to you to dozens upon dozens of scriptures where you can learn what the Bible has to say about that, or even reference Bibles where they're pointing you to different texts, because it's really great to be curious about your faith.
Yeah, one of the resources I have listed in the show notes is blueletterbible.org.
Oh, and excellent.
Yeah, I love, love, love. And that's actually where I get to nerd out on Hebrew and Greek as well. One caution with that is that it's easy to take those things out of context too. Like every Hebrew word I'm learning is like a whole story. There's so much to learn about it. But that has been a really great resource for me, blueletterbible.org. Is there any last thing that you want to make sure that we talk about with baptism?
I think, again, just what I said, to be curious about it, to know that we can disagree on things like sprinkling and immersion, and to be here to celebrate with one another the joy that this faith is, and that this baptism is part of being in community and sharing it together.
So good. Thank you so much, Misty. Thank you for taking the time again to come and talk about this important topic.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us for this conversation today about baptism. Misty Harper Anderson has been my guest today, and I hope that we have piqued your interest and your curiosity in baptism. I hope that you feel inspired to go and to study God's word for yourself. I did pull together some of my notes, such as they are, but I've got the Hebrew and the Greek words that I talked about, some of the references that we talked about, and also that resource that I use called blueletterbible.org. It's been a really helpful resource for me in studying the Bible and understanding God's word a little bit better. So thank you again for joining us for this conversation about baptism, and I look forward to talking with you next week when we talk about the Ten Commandments. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to this conversation from Reading the Bible Together. These conversations are available because of your support. Become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and share it with friends so together we can inspire more people to read the Bible together.